On the economy, I'll quickly and briefly recall that after we analyzed the second wave, we had indicated that Q1 would be worse than we had anticipated before the second wave, but part of this would be made up in Q2, and the rest of it was most likely be made up in H2 of FY22. And that is basically what is happening. As you've all seen the GDP numbers, the Q2 has more or less reached the levels which were attained in 2019. And over that, the economy is on track to achieve the forecast which we made a year ago, which was of double-digit growth, 10%, but plus with a broader uncertainty range of 1%, much higher than I usually do in normal times. But I think now that is narrowing a little bit. And recently, before the new virus came, I had reduced that range to 0.5. Now, at the end, I will also mention the risks of the new Omicron virus in the conclusion. But by and large, we are on track and according to our forecast. The second issue is of reforms and growth. Again, about more than 6 to 9 months ago, we made the forecast that, and we noticed and we pointed out in talks in various places that the reforms since September 2020 were very significant and would have a structural reforms and would have a positive growth impact from the next financial year onwards. And the forecast we gave was 7.5% plus minus 8%. At that time, people thought it's out of the sky. But now, I think it was mentioned Goldman Sachs or somebody, though their pattern of growth recovery is different. The total, if you just simplistically add up our forecast of 10% plus 7.5%, that's 17% in a manner of speaking. And the Goldman forecast now is 17%. So more or less in the next financial year, the view is coming around. People are beginning to appreciate the reforms which have been happening and trying to understand and agreeing that this would have a very positive impact on the longer term growth recovery. In this context, I just want to mention that there has been discussion about what the abolition of the three farm laws would have. Some people were pessimistic. Again, as we have pointed out, that you have to be very careful. Farmers is actually the biggest political lobby, because 45% of people identify with farming, though they may be large or small relationship to it. So that's a very political group. So it's actually the extension of that even to labor, organized labor, is only 10% if you compare. And other reforms really touch in the thousands or 10,000s at most. So these two sectors or these two areas of the reform are very unique. And any generalization from this so-called backtracking would be completely unjustified in our view. On other reform. But I still assert that clearly, the government must time and phase the rest of the rollout reform very carefully, because it's always possible to get some individualized flare-ups, and timing and phasing helps to keep it down. I think that it's not necessary the details of GDP. Very briefly, clearly the capital, fixed capital is on track and recovering better than consumption. If we use the IIP data along with the GDP data, non-durables are a little above the 2019 levels, but consumer durables are below that level. So, the fixed capital investment is actually higher than the 2019 level. So I have some concerns on the consumption side, which I'll briefly come to in my next point. Exports, as people have noted, given the previous problems in the viral problems in Europe even before the Omicron, it's likely that world demand will slow down, and that will have some negative effect on the exports. But it is my view that the shift in supply chains will continue. That is one point. So the effect will be less dramatic on India. And second, of course, is all of us who have been in this game know that oil always moves. Oil prices have a negative effect and always move in the opposite direction. So when global demand goes up, it also raises oil prices, so that total effect through the excess demand for Indian products goes up less than world demand, and vice versa. So when export growth slows, that will also slow down oil price increases and may even reduce oil prices, and therefore that offsets it partly. But of course, there will be some the effect, positive effect will clearly be much less than it has been when world demand is recovering strongly. The final point in this segment is on inflation. Again, we will just briefly recall that we had talked about supply-demand imbalances, sectoral, industry-wise, as creating confusion in terms of excess demand, excess supply, things happening all the time. We said this about a year ago. But the point now is that people have accepted this, but tend to generalize too much. And it's important to remember that the U.S. has very special, as compared to even Europe or India, that U.S. has had a huge shift in demand from substitution of goods by services. And secondly, the fiscal packages added to this shift, which could not be go into services demand. So all the impact of this fiscal boost went into commodities, and therefore this led to special logistics disruption, which are not seen that much in Europe. There were temporary effects in UK, for example, and of course India has been completely different. So my only point here is caution. When we say that, when we see that inflation judgments relating to US, which are beginning to change, it doesn't automatically apply to Europe or India. That's the only caution. Now, the third point I want to make very quickly is the concerned weakness. I think, as I said, at this time, before the budget, it's important to recognize the weaknesses. Basically, as many have pointed out, including our own panelists, Mr. Siddharth Sinyal, that the informal sector, the non-agricultural small informal sector, wages, employment recovery, income recovery has been slow. And though we don't have very precise information, and also we know that some of this stuff may be temporary, it still, to me, is a source of concern because of the effect on consumer demand. I already referred to it, that weak recovery, consumer expenditure numbers show that. And also, Mr. Sanyal again has been telling us about what is happening in rural demand, and he may add to it today also. But one set of data which I pointed to last time and I want to reiterate was that very strangely, the ratio of rural non-agricultural to agricultural wages has gone down. So this suggests the problem is not in the agricultural sector, which, as the GDP shows, has grown at 4.5% in H1 after a growth of 3% or more in the last year, but in the non-agricultural sector. So whatever it is, there is a stress. Whatever the exact data, which we don't have, there is a stress in the small and macro sector, which is a area of concern. As I mentioned, some of this will recover, part of it will recover as contact services recover with vaccination. I'll come back to the Omicron problem later. And interestingly, somebody referred to a Delhi survey. So I checked the CMI data on Delhi, and it shows that there was a big step up from 11% to 16% in September. And then in October, the unemployment rate went down to 11. So some of this dynamic is really related to the contact sector of migrants moving back to the city, etc., and will be temporary. But nevertheless, I think it's important and another point is that over the longer term, the share of informal sector is much too high for this level of our per capita GDP and should go down. But nevertheless, it is, you know, the government must ensure that there is a level playing field, at least for modern MSMEs, you know. So I suggest three reforms. I won't get into the details. I think they are very urgent. One is GST reform, which contrary to my general proposition on reform, where I always prefer revenue neutral reform, in this particular case, I make an exception for the reasons I've outlined, that it be revenue negative in the first year is acceptable, because this will help accelerate the consumption recovery and make it revenue neutral by next year and positive by third year. It will happen much more quickly than usual because of the special circumstances. Second, customs duty, I just want to mention again without going into the details, it's again very important to understand that people are still stuck in what the government did in 2018 and 19. They talk about a rise in the average average tariff rate by I think the numbers which have been is 2.5 to 3% points. Well, it turns out more than half of that has already been reversed in 2020, and this is shown very clearly by WTO data which I have presented elsewhere. But I think reforms are still needed. The dispersion of rates is too high, and we could still go down another couple 1 to 1.5% points in the average rate. So I certainly don't think that Atmanirbhar Bharat requires us to have a much higher tariff rate than we've had in the, you know, we reached a low point a couple of years ago. We are already back, as I said, to the 2007 levels. So people who keep repeating that we are turning towards protectionism are wrong. There was a jump up. It has been partly, half of it has been reversed, and it is possible now, hopefully in the next budget, to do more of this in the reforms. And finally, the direct tax code has been pending, the reform has been pending for since 2009, when most of the work, the technical work was completed, and I hope some progress is made on that. Finally, in conclusion, I would say that the key point here is the judgment of the RBI on recovery. Of course, I am very fairly confident about the numbers which I have given, 10% plus minus 0.5 to 1% for this year, and 7.5% plus minus 0.5% for next year. Others will have different views. So everybody, RBI may have different view, but once they are confident that this pattern of recovery will happen, I suggest that monetary policy stance should be changed from accommodative to neutral. That was my main recommendation to the RBI governor in the meeting we had with economists some time back, and I reiterate that here. But it's the judgment of the RBI which matters, not my judgment. That's very important to remember. They are charged with monetary policy and they have to make the judgments. But once they conclude that we are on track for this, I would say that this stance must be changed. Finally, on COVID, what I have learned, and I follow these very closely since March of 2020, when the first wave came, what we know is that the Omicron variant is even more transmissible than the Delta variant, which was itself 2 to 3 times more transmissible than the original variant. But it seems at this point in time to be less severe. Okay, so given that, I don't expect at this point in time, with the evidence, when I say this point, I'm not talking about the economics, I'm talking about the scientific evidence that we have. I don't expect that we will have that scare of hospitalization, severity, deaths that we had here or anywhere. And really, it's very important to distinguish that Europe cases, including UK cases, were rising even before the Omicron virus was discovered, which was 2 weeks ago. The increase in Europe happened about a month ago. The big scare in Germany, Netherlands, Eastern Europe. So I don't think we should mix up. I have earlier said many times that the Delta will play out everywhere in the world. So it has reached Europe, and it will play out. but has nothing much to do with the Omicron. We should keep those two issues separate. But yes, there is a downside risk. My estimate is that a couple of tenths of percent growth is, you know, in Europe, it may affect more, but everybody's now learned the lessons. They are taking precautions. And I don't expect more than a tenth or two tenths of a percent effect on GDP for India. One final word, which a lesson on which has not been learned. I have several times, including in this forum, recommended that incentives for installing of good ventilation systems and air filters in public places, because this virus, other variants are going to be with us for a long time. And one of the things we have learned is that good air filters help in reducing the virus load, which slows down, doesn't eliminate it. It slows down the spread of the virus in close surrounding. So with that, let me